Some matches are temporary, but your privacy shouldn't be. With Line 2, you get a second phone line just for dating. No need to share your personal number until you're ready. You can chat, text, and even block numbers, all while keeping things fun and private. It's perfect for online dating, blind dates, or just keeping things light. When you're ready to move on, Line 2 lets you cut ties without any drama. Dating should be fun and carefree. Line 2 keeps it that way. Ready to date on your terms? Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store today.
Once upon a time, there was a little boy. A very special little boy. He had a gift. And a curse. What do you think his curse was?
Someone put a monster in his head.
No, silly. The monster was the gift. His curse was... He's insane.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to our podcast. I'm Jason.
And I'm Rima.
And this is Legion Cast, episode 18. You know, the viewership has gone way down lately. I think it's about 3 right now. It's you and me and our one listener. We're the only 3 people watching it.
But hanging in there.
Somehow, they've still decided to renew it for season 3. I thought I'd just mention that right up front.
Yeah, it's in my news. Hallelujah.
Yeah, I knew it would be, yeah.
Of course, yes. So, oh my God, I was so relieved.
I know, yeah. Yeah, and you know what? I hate to like rain on this parade right away, but I wouldn't be surprised. In fact, I'm going to guess that next season will be the last season and that they will have time to wrap it up in a way that they really want to. You know, they can focus the whole season on that. Who knows? Maybe
yes.
Not, but that'll be good to give them that opportunity.
I think if they know or expect that this to be their season 3 to be their last, then they can.
Yeah,
they can say, okay, exactly. we know where the story needs to go and we can write it towards that end, mm-hmm. and make it a really great story. And then they can really focus on that. And I think then it will be even better than ever. And I'm okay mm-hmm. with that. I mean, I would love to have maybe 4, but if we... Two things. If it's going to be short, I don't want it to be something that goes on forever and ever that isn't good anymore. I mean,
yeah.
The Walking Dead. And then also, if they know that it's an end game, they can write towards it and it'll be, I think, fantastic. I think Noah Hawley would do a fantastic job wrapping it up.
I mean, we know, I think, I never remember plots after a while, but he's had a chance to wrap things up because Fargo is... anthology style.
Anthology. Mm-hmm.
So every season gets an ending, and I think I've been satisfied. I don't remember how any of those 3 ended, but I remember feeling satisfied. So
yes.
We know he knows how to do it. And
he does. Yeah, I agree. I finished season 1 of Fargo and I'm in the middle of season 2, hoping I can find season 3 out there somewhere because it's not on Hulu, Netflix, Amazon Prime. It's not anywhere. I'm sure there are some means that I can get it that I'm not aware of, and there probably aren't.
You have to go to a certain alley,
right?
Between 10
get it
p.m.
on the,
and
somebody
6 a.m.
Give me a black market copy of it or something. I don't know. I guess I could buy it, but I really don't want to. But anyway, yeah, I was really satisfied with season 1 of Fargo. I thought it was really great. I just couldn't stop watching. It was so great. The acting was fantastic, and so I agree. I think if he knows that if this is where it's going to go, and they might not have another one, we'll be good with it.
Yep. I feel like that's going to happen. I'm getting myself mentally ready for that just so I won't feel too disappointed if it does happen.
Right. Yeah. I think, I mean, FX, Noah Hawley is FX's gold, or, you know, he's
golden boy. Yeah.
With Fargo and with Legion, I know viewership has dropped some, and I think, you know, it's just some folks that just aren't quite, they just need to stick it out. I just wish people could just stick it out and see, like, this episode that was, I thought, so gratifying in so many ways.
Yeah, it's I feel like I can say this because everyone hearing me probably likes the show. I just feel like the show is too good for the masses.
It's too good for you.
Yeah, it's too good for most people. Like, you know, people like McDonald's, and you know, I'll go for McDonald's every once in a while, but this is intelligent and super creative, and it's hard, it's challenging, right? Like, you got to kind of work at it a little bit, not too much, but a little bit. And some people don't have any patience for that, but I think it's totally great. And I would, if Noah Hawley could keep up this level, I would like to see another, you know, go up to season 9 or something like that. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. If he could keep it at the same level and keep being inventive and everything, this is a show that could sustain that. But I'm getting myself ready for 3 instead.
Oh, well, with them keeping us waiting this long to announce season 3, then I don't want to look any further beyond that. Yeah. I don't want to get my hopes up.
Because it was on the chopping block. Uh-huh. And they decided, well, let's do one more. That's my sense.
Right. Let's give him a chance, because nicely. Yeah. Because you're our guy, and you do good for us, and you make us money, and you have these hit shows and stuff, and you're doing a great
job.
And
they recognize that. I mean, FX has good shows that are very adult and interesting and intelligent, and they recognize, I think, that this is a good show too. So they have to wrestle with, well, it's good, but it's not popular. So, you know, and FX, I think, has been more of the type to keep a show like that going a little bit longer. Mm-hmm. Than other, like, freaking Stars canceling Ash vs. Evil Dead. Oh,
that we're still not over yet.
No, I'm not.
I'm not either. I'm not giving you shit, I promise. I'm not over it yet. I'm really upset about that.
Yeah. Well, let's get into this week. So let's do it. It's our top 5 highlights for Legion season 2, episode 10, chapter 18. You said you loved it.
I did. I mean, it was hard to watch some of it.
I know.
It was sad, and it was dark, and it was serious, yeah. But I did really like it, yeah.
Some of it felt with Melanie sitting there whispering into Sid's ear, oh, do you know what he does with that future self? And then shows them kissing and makes it sound like they do a lot more when that was actually the only thing they did. Not excusing it, but she blew it up into something even more. I'm like, this feels like a dynasty from the 80s or something. Yes. People would just screw each other over, telling lies and things like that. It's a total soap opera. But anyway, I totally loved it too. And it was hard to watch, exactly the same thing you just said. What's your number 5?
My number 5, I'm just going to start it off because it was a total huge, huge moment. Is that cameo that we got in the beginning with David. As comic book David.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know,
I don't know if I'd call that a cameo, but I know what you're talking about.
I'm calling it a comic book cameo. Okay. Because he's the comic David. And I'm calling it a cameo. So, okay. that thrilled me. I mean, I about jumped out of my chair whenever, you know, because I'm looking at Lenny going, what the hell's wrong with Lenny? She's, you know, in this weird daze, you know, kind of spaced out, lying on the floor. And then it pans over to David and you see him and he's totally got that comic wardrobe. I mean, that's like out of the comic book. And his hair. I about peed myself. I was so excited. What did you think when you saw it?
Same thing. Yeah. That whole opening scene with the lightning and the camera work is very deliberate. And then you see an overhead view of those dudes with the like conical Asian farm hats running in the field. And then it zooms in on this hut with a fire and the circle of bones and Lenny draped across that fur rug with, for some reason, blood coming out of her nose.
Mm-hmm.
Does that mean that David's controlling her and she's trying to resist? I don't know. Or maybe she just did a big line of coke. Who knows?
Right. Well, with Lenny, you don't know. And yeah. Did she look pregnant to you? Didn't look like she was like rubbing her belly. Like she looked
maybe
pregnant.
Hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Like,
maybe
it just
looked
that way to me.
Now. Yeah. Cause I feel like this was a glimpse of the future.
Yeah.
Cause it didn't really connect with anything else in the episode, except maybe how they're sort of talking about what David's going to become. But yeah, then I saw him and I'm like, oh my God, that's David from the comic books, David Haller.
I know.
With the hair and, you know, like you said, the pants even, he has these big like 80s parachute pants, or not hair shoot, like MC Hammer pants kind of, and yes, the open vest with the stripe across and no shirt underneath. And even the way his posture was, with one hand holding this globe, this glass sphere, and then the other hand kind of draped down. It looked like his posture in the comics a lot too. And then the hair, of course. But what's different is he's younger in the comics and he's a lot skinnier and the hair's black. So I think this is the closest they could do with David. And mm-hmm. I always wondered, maybe they're not doing it because that look doesn't really fit Dan Stevens. But I thought it was pretty cool. looked cool.
I thought it was just amazing. And I don't know if that's just something that we're getting a glimpse of, if that really is what the future's going to hold, if that's what we're going to expect to see as far as the future. He certainly looks satisfied with himself. As you said, the way he was postured, and it just looked like it was taken right out of a comic book panel. I just loved it so much.
He was looking into that sphere and saw an image of Sid, and I couldn't tell if it was older Sid or...
To me, it looked like future Sid, because yeah. She... When you look at her face, she had that sadness in her eyes. That same sadness whenever he would go visit future Sid, she just has this sense of loss and sadness in her face. And she had that same, to me anyway, I could be completely wrong, but just to me, whenever I was trying to figure it out and I was questioning, is that Sid now that he's kind of looking at her that way, or is that future Sid? And to me, it was future Sid.
You know what? I'm kind of wondering if this whole thing with David turning into a bad guy and causing the apocalypse isn't going to be a self-fulfilling prophecy, where mm-hmm. because future Sid told Shadow King that's what happened, that now he's just turning up the I'm gonna fuck with you and turn everybody against you and make him go nuts and do it.
I have the same thoughts.
So my number five is what you just said, comic book Legion, and I'm pretty sure, who knows, but that's going to be what he's going to look like in the show for mm-hmm. a while. And at one point, Sid asks Melanie, how does he turn? And she says, I don't know. All I know is he does into something magnificent, something terrible. Legion, the world killer. So she also said the name, and that's the first time they've ever said the name in this show.
Yes. I legit squealed when she said that. I was like squealing, going, yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. The thing is, Legion, the reason why he's called Legion is because he has a whole bunch of personalities inside of him in the comics. Mm-hmm. And it's not necessarily, at least in my limited reading of Legion comics, associated with him being a supervillain, Legion, the killer of worlds. It's because he has those personalities. Some of them are bad, some of them are good, some of them are in the middle.
Right.
So even if he does end up becoming Legion, quote unquote, like next season or something, I don't think that necessarily means he's going to be this world killer villain. He might be more chaotic and some of his personalities might be evil, but I don't think we're looking at, I don't know, it would just be weird to have a season of evil David.
I agree. And it being like really him and not being controlled by like Farouk, like he's been all of his life. Like he is the real threat.
I want to see Farouk dead by the end of this season, because not because mm-hmm. I don't like him. I think he's been great. And I do like this, the guy who's played him this year a lot.
Yes.
But right now I'm realizing this whole show really is about the Shadow King fucking with a bunch of mutants' heads. Without the Shadow King in season one and season two, we wouldn't have had a show. And that's cool. But now I want to see David tackle something else, you know?
Right. Well, because we always need that villain, right? I mean, that's like the whole comic premise is you always need that villain to have something for the good guys to do. They need, the good has to have the evil to fight. Well, I'm ready for Farouk to be, I'm with you. I think the actor's been great. I've really enjoyed him on screen. I think he's got a great presence about him, but I'm ready to see him gone. I'm ready to see him defeated. And now David be that villain.
Yeah,
that,
maybe so. You know. Yeah. The one thing that works really good about Shadow King with this show is because this show is about not only mental illness, but psychology melded with superpowers, that he's the one who goes in and makes you question things and makes you crazy and does and enacts all these concepts that John Hamm's been teaching us about, you know?
Yes.
And so he's the perfect villain for the show. I'm going back and forth, but I would like for them to find some new and interesting direction next season that doesn't involve the Shadow King. I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised if they had him back again for the next season, though.
I wouldn't put it past them to maybe, because, you know, we're seeing a lot in this season. We see lots of glimpses, and especially in this episode, it was pretty heavy with lots of glimpses back to season one, you know, with the oh, what do you call him? The fat bastard.
Yeah. Yellow-eyed.
And yeah, the yellow-eyed fat bastard, whatever. You saw him. You saw the angry boy. You saw scenes of Sydney and David from season one and just lots of different things from season one. So, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if we saw him, if maybe they incorporated him in maybe some flashbacks or something. But yeah. I really hope that that's kind of where it goes. I hope they kind of flip the switch here because they keep, you know, like Farouk said, the hero becomes the villain becomes the hero.
I just don't ever buy that Shadow King's going to be a hero. Like, that's what Sid seems to come away at the end thinking, well, if something's wrong with David, then maybe I was all wrong about Farouk, but Farouk's causing all this.
Right. No, and I didn't mean to say that Farouk was going to be the hero, but that's, you know, it's just, I think that that's what we're going to see is David going from that hero to becoming that villain, and he's going to be the villain and not the Shadow King.
Interesting. There's been this, I guess you could call it a prophecy, that David is going to kill Shadow King in the desert, and now they're in the desert, so that makes me think that is going to happen next week. He's going to kill him.
I think so, too. And I think that, because this episode was supposed to be the finale, and then we got the announcement several episodes back, like in the middle of the season somewhere, that they added episode 11. Mm-hmm. And it makes me wonder what, if anything, because I think there were probably some things changed after they knew they were going to add episode 11. What was changed in this episode so that way they could, you know, incorporate that and finish the story in 11? Because it looked like I don't know what changed. I don't know if something happened to Farouk or if they were going to carry that over into the next season. I don't know. What do you think?
I think that probably these last couple episodes didn't change too much, but what they did were those few in the middle that were off the path going in Sid's head, the multiple reality one, and I forget what came after that, but I feel like one of those got expanded, you know, where they were going to have to try to meld two of those together, and he couldn't figure out a way to do it. I think he probably had this last part plotted out pretty well, but who knows? I don't know. I haven't read anything about it.
Well, I haven't either. I don't think it's been really released. I don't think they've released the creative reasons as to why they, one, announced episode 11, for what reasons, and what changes, if any, were made to any of the episodes after they announced they were going to do episode 11.
I mean, I don't think that it was like they came to this point that we just saw and they're like, oh, well, we should probably add more. You know, I don't think it was like that. I think they kind of had some story beats plotted out and realized they couldn't squish it all in. They needed one more episode to tell the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm glad it wasn't what we thought, that they wanted to give it a series finale.
Oh, gosh, I know.
Okay, what's your number four?
My number four is the failure of David's plan. So while we had some really cool stuff that came out of it, like we got to see Lenny, I thought Lenny being like on the good guy side was pretty cool to see for once. And, you know, she wasn't just out for herself.
But she was kind of like, yeah, I'm here. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do my job. She was like, yeah, happy about it. What's up, guys?
She wasn't like super dedicated, but she's like, hey, I'm here. I'm just going to wait here and I'm going to take out a couple guys. Yeah, with my cool.
We should go down. No, I'm supposed to stay up here. What did she, what was her job? To take the payback shot or something?
Yeah, payback.
Maybe we'll see that next week.
Yeah, I hope so. That it was super cool to see her have fun with her new toy. She seemed to be enjoying herself, and she's kind of like, I'm just going to hang out for a while. So that was kind of cool to see her on the other side of things.
What's going on here?
Yeah. And, you know, she helped Carrie. Carrie was kicking some ass and had a lot of guys, and she took a couple of them out for Carrie. So that was cool. I like seeing Carrie and Lenny interact. I don't know if we... I guess maybe in season one when she was being controlled by Farouk, but now that Lenny is like Lenny herself, I thought that was kind of cool, that interaction. I really liked the action because I really just sometimes want to see people get hit and knocked around a little bit. So I really, this episode did not disappoint. I really liked Carrie, you know, finally getting to kick some ass, and she did it so well. She didn't even mess up her ponytail. I was super impressed.
Well done action.
It was.
Yeah, the way they filmed it. Sometimes, like in the. Do you ever watch the Marvel Daredevil? No. Batman, Dark Knight, mm-hmm. and those. They film it like they stick the camera right in, so you just see a bunch of like black mess.
Yes.
You can't tell what's going on. This was beautifully shot. Some shots were long, some were close, some were fast motion, some slow. But the way she handled that stick, it was. I want to see her go up against Morgan.
I know. I thought that too. I was like, she's doing. I cannot ever remember the type of martial art or technique that is that Morgan has. But I was like, oh, that's cool. She's like Morgan with her stick. and I liked how it was in slow motion too, as those guys were whipping those bolo things up in the air.
That was pretty damn cool. Yeah, they're like making some kind of noise that all these mercenary dudes were throwing up in their masks.
Mm-hmm.
And guy carries like and then she just goes and wipes the floor with them. And then I loved how you saw a ton more climb out,
yes,
like twice as many. And I'm like, oh crap. Like, maybe she's done for here. She looks scared. And then the next time you see her, all but two of them are laid out.
Like, we were worried.
And she's like, yeah, exactly. And she's like, you guys ready to give up now? Like, she didn't really need Lenny's help. She could have just finished those last two off, no problem, I feel like. She's a badass.
I know. I love Carrie, and I'm so happy for her that she finally got to see some action, because that's all she wants.
I know.
That's all she wants is
she's
some
in
action.
Element. Yeah.
Absolutely. And it was good. It did not disappoint. It was great action. But I thought, while there was some really great stuff that came out of that, as we're seeing David's plan come together, because we saw again Lenny coming into the scene in the blue car and getting the gun out. We see that both Carries show up with some soldiers.
I don't think they were supposed to show up. But
well,
Carrie left a tracking device on Lenny, and so that's why they showed up and they're of help. But that's good. But yeah, Lenny's job is mm-hmm. to shoot probably the Shadow King with this gun. And then we found out about Clark. Were you going to mention that?
Yes, as part of the plan that did not go as... I guess David had not accounted for what, because we had the Minotaur. He did not, well, I guess he kind of knew about the Minotaur. I'm not sure if he knew the part it was going to play, that it was a part of this whole thing, or if it was just a part of Melanie's weird delusion that when they saw the Minotaur in her, when they were in her head trying to bring her back. So I don't know if he really accounted for the Minotaur and how it grew, because it grew and it was actually able to fight, where it looked pretty
weak. Get
rid of
its, it's like, what do you call it? Crutches and little wheelchair thingy.
Yeah, his legs grew strength, and he was, because he seemed really weak. He seemed weak and raspy. And then the Shadow King, when he laid his, well, Melanie as the Shadow King, you know, put their hand on him, and he grew strong. And then the choke, whenever Clark brought the choke, I don't think he realized, you know, he didn't, I guess, take into account Farouk was going to be wiping everyone out and then be able to just whisk that thing away with a flick of his wrist.
Well, and also you and I, well, that appeared mm-hmm. and the context was confusing, if I remember right. So we weren't sure what the hell was going on, but like, what is that? It looks like a tuning fork. And now we found out what it is. It's a power dampener. So I assume, and I, like David said, well, when that thing goes on, then we're just men. So apparently the idea was to activate that to take away the Shadow King's power, maybe, and then maybe Lenny would shoot him.
Right, he would be like mortal and mm-hmm. and be susceptible to a gunshot wound, whereas maybe his fully powered mutant self wouldn't affect him, or he'd maybe be.
Maybe this is one reason why Lenny was chosen, because, you know, they said she was special or they needed her in particular. Maybe it's just mm-hmm. because she has such a grudge against the Shadow King, rightly so, that she
Absolutely.
Would be more motivated to shoot him.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe that's what she was talking about with the payback, you know, getting the Shadow King back for all the imprisonment and torture that he, you know, kept her slave to.
Did get her a new body, though. That was nice.
with blue eyes, he sure did.
Kind of kept her alive.
He did. Well, then she should be grateful. And
yeah,
stop bitching.
Exactly. It all evens out. Jesus. What else? Is that it?
That's it for my number four. Yeah.
Okay. My number four is, I like, this show always kind of has this, but this episode in particular, I kept noticing there was a lot of cartooniness almost.
Yes.
And there was this big perfectly circular hole in the desert with a big like bathtub plug complete with beaded chain next to it. And I'm like,
so absurd.
I love that, but why?
I think it was just something funny and interesting that, yeah, you know, to maybe throw in that absurd element in this dark and serious episode. I don't know.
One thing it evokes is if you go down there, you're going down the drain kind of thing.
Well, and maybe that's what it was kind of representing. You have this big bath plug that's supposed to go over this big hole, and what goes down like bath plugs or the bath drain is waste. Yeah. And what comes out of it. It's like, I don't know. Maybe there's just something to that. I don't know.
I don't know what you're doing in the bathtub. I'm just kidding.
I don't mean that. Waste water. Okay. I don't know.
Got it.
Stop.
Dirty water. I mean, if you got to have some kind of a real reason for it, maybe it's just that it seems like this desert is a special supernatural place, and maybe people with mental powers can manifest things. Or Shadow King set that up because he has a creative aesthetic.
He's got an art or an eye for design. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. It's a little whimsy.
Yeah.
Then what else? Lenny pulling the gun out of the suitcase, big giant gun out of a tiny suitcase.
Yeah, like a magic trick.
Yeah, that's kind of comic booky. She got this big smile on her face. Or when David's with Oliver, where is she? And Oliver pretends to lock his lips with a key and then throws it over his shoulder and you hear ting.
I loved that so much. I have that in my notes, yeah.
And then just the little blue pajamaed monk minions crawling out of the hole like some kind of spider creatures felt kind of cartoony to me. And I mean, this show always has, it's such a dark concept in some ways with mental illness and killing and some of the gruesomeness we've seen, but it's always had a lot of fun and whimsy to it too. So this episode was no different in that way. I like it. Okay. What's your three?
My number three, just in general, heroes and villains. I really like so far what we've gotten this season, this story, where it's not like you straight up love the hero or hate the villain. I've talked a little bit about how, you know, Farouk is just a bad guy. I don't love anything that he's done. I don't think he should live and should be taken out. But he was very charmingly played and very entertaining to watch, that's for sure. And I loved his interactions with David. And I think that, you know, we root for David because we want him to win. He's our protagonist and we love him, but he's kind of a bad guy. And I mean, I know that I hate to really kind of fall for like when Sydney, you know, during this episode has had to see all the bad stuff that he's done, but you know, he has kind of done some bad things and he was kind of really getting a kick out of torturing Oliver. So it's kind of like, I don't like that. He's really enjoying hurting people and that really scares me. And in the future, we saw whether or not it's just a glimpse, whether it's a possibility of what could happen, of him being this future world killer, because it seems like whatever world he's created, has he really killed the world? You know, the outside looked really ominous. It was dark. There was lightning. He's sitting sitting on skulls, you know, like ruling the world. So I really like that there, you know, you're kind of torn with this story. And that's what I like. It's like, it's not straight up, oh, we want our hero to win, because is he really our hero?
I mean, I've felt since the beginning of the series that sometimes David takes a little bit too much. He seems too excited when he's doing something powerful that's hurting other people. Mm-hmm. You know, he's got a darkness in there for sure. But I think he struggles with that. And even in the end, he said to Carrie, you know, oh, I'm just worried because I'm going to kill the Shadow King and I'm enjoying thinking about how I'm going to do that. And that worries me. So he struggles with it, right? He struggles with his dark side. Shadow King, I'm not on the same page as you with him. I think he's entertaining to watch, but I think he's a total psychopath. He does not struggle. He just wants to hurt people for his own gain and that's it. So he just, you know, there's nothing redeeming about him. I mean, maybe he's entertaining, but that's trivial as far as I'm concerned. For a show, it's totally important, like when you're watching. But as far as like if this was real, I would be like, yeah, he's entertaining. Please kill him right now.
He doesn't deserve to live. I agree. He shouldn't be allowed to live. But I do like
he's not like, you know, the gray area. I don't see any gray area there with him.
Okay, I agree with that. I do.
Okay, what else? Anything else?
Nope, that's it. I really like how it's not just a straight up story. Yeah. You get conflicted, at least, yeah, as far as like with David, because you root for him, but should we root for him? Is he good? Is he bad? And I like that. I like how it makes you think about it and really makes you question yourself.
Yeah. I mean, this whole episode was, most of it anyway, was about turning Sid against David. Mm-hmm. And the cool thing about it is what you just said, that you start to doubt too. Yes. It's like Shadow King's getting in your head. The show gets in your head. And so, yeah, I like that a lot too. Because, yeah, once you start seeing all these things that he's done, I mean, it just reminds me of doubts I've already had, though, because we've already felt like, oh, yeah, we could totally see David turning into this evil person that destroys the because he goes mm-hmm. out of control sometimes, or he's a little erratic. And I mean, I think that there are plenty of times where he has a good heart, and where Melanie is by the end of this saying maybe he was bad all along and he's, you know, we have to stop him. I'm not there. Like, I think he's got conflicting drives inside of him. And I think he's basically a good person, but he does have some dark tendencies. And, you know, the whole thing about Melanie saying, Melanie, who's really the Shadow King, we find out at the end, saying the monster was the gift, but mm-hmm. David was insane. I'm like, eh. I mean, I think Shadow King's whole thing is that he amplifies people's neuroses.
Yes.
And I think mental illness and neuroses and all that, it's all on a continuum, maybe. I mean, I'm speaking from not really knowing too much about this, but my impression is, at least there's some truth in this, that we all have doubts and fears and quirks and foibles and flaws, and we manage, you know, some people better than others. But when, like, some times when life really sucks or things are at their worst, we kind of fall apart a little bit and do things that, oh God, you know, when I was really down, I totally blew it. I can't believe I did that kind of thing. So it's about the extremes. Like, it's considered mental illness when it just goes really far out to one extreme. But when it's somewhere in the middle and you can kind of manage it and it's not that much of a problem, then it's just normal, like neuroses. And what Shadow King does is he gets in your head and he blows that shit out. And that's why David probably had some of those things, but they wouldn't have been a problem if Shadow King hadn't infected him. Same thing with Melanie this episode. Her whole thing is that she feels abandoned by men and she's resentful. And once he gets in there, she's like, yeah, I think the praying mantis is perfect, where you just fornicate and kill the guy, kill him. What do we need men for except for the sperm? You know, and then spends the whole time turning Sid against David. Like, I know that's mostly just the Shadow King using her like a puppet, but I do feel like there's her personality coming out of that. There's her, he's preying on her weaknesses and kind of amplifying those and focusing on those.
Right. Well, I agree. And you know, Shadow King, he can read your mind. So he's clearly been in Division 3 and he's probably picked up on what her fears already were and have been when she, you know, when we saw in the beginning when she was, they were showing that scene that she had with Clark, when she was, you know, telling Clark about her fears that she's afraid that, you know, he doesn't know good from bad and right from wrong. And, you know, she's worried about him. And I think that, you know, the Shadow King was able to pick up on that weakness and, yeah, and then use it and twist it in this episode.
That's his like specialty.
Yeah.
And maybe the Minotaur being kind of attached to her was a way for Shadow King to start to work on her or something. I'm still not clear what this Minotaur is.
I don't either.
I think it's a separate entity that works for the Shadow King, but I don't know. It's like his enforcer or something. I mean, the Minotaur of Legend has to do with always mazes. And it feels like this whole underground area was kind of a maze. And also that when you're in the Shadow King's grasp, you're kind of this in the psychological maze that you can't get out of. but
you're stuck in the maze with your teeth chattering.
And there's a minotaur there that might kill you. I don't know. But then also about reading minds, I think that's how the Shadow King was able to project all these scenes from that he/she wanted Sid to see on those little circular tables or whatever.
Right.
That he can pull images from different people's minds, or maybe he can see remotely. I mean, it doesn't really matter exactly why, but it's all mental shit.
Right. And that's, I mean, and he was able to do that. He was able to pluck those scenes out and use them against Sydney. And that's why she didn't understand, because she thought she was dealing with Melanie, not the Shadow King. And, you know, the Shadow King can pluck those things out of your memories, because she's like, how are you doing this? Because those were clearly things that, there were a couple of those scenes that happened just between David and Sydney. There was no one else there to witness.
So she could have pulled that from her mind.
Right.
Yeah. And do you think, I mean, I thought Melanie's argument was somewhat persuasive, but for the level of love that Sid has for David and what they've been through, I feel like it was a bit unrealistic for her to completely go over to that side. That maybe also there was some like telepathic power, persuasive power going on too, along with the just the regular old argument. You know what I
mean? Yeah, I do know what you mean. I do know what you mean. I was a little bit disappointed that she was able to succumb to that. It wasn't easy for her, but...
Yeah, but as... Yeah, with that, with what we saw. I mean, even like... so brutal watching David torture Oliver, especially after he had said earlier, I don't want his body, I want him to live if we attack the Shadow King. Well, I guess if you drill into somebody's leg, they're still going to be alive, but Jesus. Anyways, it was brutal, but it was interesting because she was watching those scenes, and the reason he was torturing him was because he wanted to get to her, so that's got to count for something, but it's still pretty awful.
Now who's rationalizing?
Yeah, I am a little bit, like... Because David knows that the Shadow King is inhabiting Oliver's body, and David wants to get back to the love of his life, Sid. And so, I don't know, that's pretty fucking brutal. But it's for a good cause. I don't know, you're probably right. It's just wrong.
Well, and because even Carrie was looking to forgive David. He's like, it's okay, I think Oliver's going to be okay. You know, whatever you did to him,
he's
going to survive.
Oh, because I was wondering if Oliver was dead. I didn't catch that line.
Yeah, he said he looked dead. He did not look good at all. But David said he's still alive, and Carrie checked him, and he's like, I think he's going to be okay. So whatever you did, just, you know, because you, Carrie doesn't know yet that all that time it wasn't really the Shadow King and Oliver. And of course, David didn't know either until the end.
And
until
that's
he was
another
done.
Thing. He didn't
know. So he didn't know. So it's like, well, whatever you did to him, it was because you thought he was the Shadow King, or the Shadow King had him under control and he's going to live. So don't feel bad about it. And you were doing what you thought you needed to because he was the Shadow King. So you can see where it was justified, but it's like what Melanie was saying. She's like, well, you know, he's doing these things, but does it really matter who the victim is? He's enjoying what he's doing.
Yeah. They show him with that big smile on his face.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't have any argument for that. There's times when he just seems to really revel in his power.
Yes. And we saw some of that in season one too, whenever he really, you know, before he understood the full scope there at the end of season one, when you really got to see his power unleashed, he was really having a good time with it. And they showed it again in this, at least one of the scenes. There was a couple of different scenes where you could see he was enjoying his power, but whenever he, was it when he was back at, or whenever he was at Division 3, and he was just kind of knocking the soldiers with a flick of his hand and just kind of dancing and skipping along down the hall as was doing it.
I think you watched it more recently than me, but I was reading somewhere that there was a flash of like the devil with the yellow eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And so that suggests that the Shadow King was a big part of why he was so brutal.
Yeah, I think there was a part where he was still under the Shadow King's control, and he was really, I think part of it was the Shadow King's power, some of it was probably David's inner power that he didn't know he had yet, but he did enjoy it at the end, because he had the halo on his head there at the end that Carrie had given him to kind of suppress the Shadow King, and then it was just supposed to be just David, and he then felt the full force of his powers, and he was totally enjoying that. Like when he stacked up all the soldiers and stuff.
Oh, shit. Yeah. I mean, I really think that the suggestion is that, yeah, there's a darkness in him, and maybe it is because Shadow King corrupted him with his influence, or maybe not. Maybe it was already in David, and he would have already gone that way even if he never met Shadow King. We don't know for sure. I mean, it really does seem like, I mean, David said, "You made me this way," but that could just be blaming.
Well, it could be, but it also could be that that's maybe where they're alluding to some of his mental illness coming from. I mean, think of being completely controlled and having a parasite like the Shadow King inhabiting you your entire life, and what that does to your mind, that even once you're free of him, what that leaves behind on you, you know, mentally. Yeah. So
I always, want to think that he would have been pretty much fine without the Shadow King's influence.
Right. He would have just been a regular mutant.
Yeah. And, you know, maybe he would have been a little quirky, but not like possible world ender.
Exactly. Okay.
Where are we?
I did my number three. Did you do your number three?
Yeah. Mine's about Melanie and that, how much was the Shadow King and how much was her. And yeah, we covered it all. What's your number two?
My number two is Sydney. And I love Sydney so much. David and Sydney, they're two of my favorite characters in this whole series. You know, to watch the whole, from the beginning to the end, the interaction between Melanie and Sydney, and how Melanie uses the truth, because she doesn't really lie that much about what she's saying and what she's showing Sydney. That's why it's so convincing.
She twists because some of it, but some of it is just straight up truth.
Exactly. But it's because it's not spread out. I mean, Sydney knows these things. She sees these things. She has seen David unleash his power on people. But I think that seeing it one after another in this narrative that the Shadow King, Melanie, is showing her, and also showing her the things that she didn't know. And I think that's where they played into her weakness, where Melanie and the Shadow King played into Sydney's weakness about her being jealous about future Sid. So she's like, well, let me show you this. And she shows David kissing future Sid. And that just completely breaks her when she sees David torturing Oliver, and the links that he can go to, and seeing his enjoyment out of it. And where she's like, look at his face. You're seeing his true face. It was so hard to watch, you know, Sydney break down like that. And you could see how it just tore at her and ripped at her. Yeah. And I thought that taking her existing insecurities, you know, about him, about is he mentally stable? Does he understand right from wrong? Has he done anything with future Sid? And that she doesn't trust him. And to see how all of these things get thrust in her face, I mean, it just sucked. And that, like, no matter what's happened between them, he was always her man. She was always going to fight for him and be with him. And then to see her on the other side of that, and now that she believes that he's the monster, I mean, that was so hard to watch, and it was painful to see her go through, you know, that whole process. And because no one wants to believe that, like, the person that you love is a bad person. You know, she just constantly wanted to believe that he was a good person, and that she didn't want to believe he was a bad person, that he could do bad things.
Yeah. And I think, you know, we really need to remember that this is all filtered through the Shadow King, and he's a master manipulator, and he will pull out all the evidence to show what he wants you to think. In fact, Melanie says at one point, you know, they can read your mind, and so they will show you what they know that you want to see, or something like that. You know, and she's talking about David, but really that's exactly what the Shadow King is doing. You know, he's reading her mind and then taking advantage and manipulating her.
Yes. That was just really hard to watch, to see her getting broken down. And she was able to see after Melanie left the room, and she's, you know, just broken down in front of one of those tables. And she can see David after what he's done to Oliver and what he tells, you know, because to me, like you said, David, he might get some enjoyment out of this, out of, you know, using his power and stuff, and what it can do, and what he can do, I should say. But you could see he struggles with it. Unlike the Shadow King, who doesn't, he does struggle. He said that.
It's an understandable impulse when somebody's fucking with you and you are getting back at them. I mean, look at Carrie, girl Carrie, when she's fighting those monks. She's hurting them and she's totally getting off on it. Because fuck you, you tried to hurt me. You swirled your little balls around and made my guys throw up. You know. Well, so the thing is with David, he's so powerful that when he gets into that mode, your brains will just explode or something. It's super lethal.
And you can't really blame him too much for wanting to get back at the Shadow King just a little bit for taking, you know, having complete control of him since he was a baby, you know, and you know, maybe wanting to get back at him just a little bit and torture him a little and, you know, try to pay him back a little bit for what he's done. And he is an evil person, but, you know, I don't know if she was watching that or not, or really paid attention and saw that he still struggled with that he's like, he is worried. And I mean, I don't think true psychopaths really question themselves like that, do they? Are they cognizant?
No. I really do think, that, like I said, we can't get too taken in with Melanie/Shadow King's argument about this. Because, she's just dismissing him as a psychopath, or, you know, can you change a serial killer or a wife beater? And David's nothing like that. I mean, he does get intense with his enemies, and that is definitely something to be concerned about. But like you're saying, he questions himself and he struggles with it. And he has shown other times that has a totally good heart, the way he interacts with Sid and other people, you know.
Yeah, well, that was the parts that were hard to watch. I mean, it was kind of hard to watch David really getting off on the torture, even though he was, like you said, doing it for a good reason, you know, trying to find Sydney. But it was just really hard to watch to see Sydney's fall.
I didn't know if we could trust all those visions either, because when we saw firsthand him torturing Oliver, he looked intense, but he didn't have that creepy grin on his face. Only when we saw it in those circular saucer things, and I think Shadow King can manipulate that.
Well, that make she it was look definitely however he wants. Right. Yeah. So you can take, you know, it's just like editing for TV. You can take any slice of film that you want and edit it for your and put your own narrative on it and use it for your own purposes and change the context of it, you know, and make it what you want. I think that's what she was doing during that scene.
Well, also, he could, like, just make the look on his face look different than it actually was.
Right.
Maybe. One thing I forgot to mention that I really liked about Melanie, you know, Sydney, when she first came in, she was totally dismissive of Melanie. Yes. And Melanie's, like, that says that praying mantis thing. And then she's like, here we are, addicted to this delusion of love. And Sid's like, we must be underground. I fell a long way. Melanie's like, you're not listening. And Sid goes, I get it. Oliver left and you're pissed, but that's not what's happening to me. And honestly, I'm kind of sick of talking about it. And it reminds me of people who just kind of wallow in their pain all the time. And you're like, okay, I get it. You need to like get your act together. Okay. Cause we're tired of hearing about this.
I feel like Noah Hawley kind of got where we were at. All of us watchers of this show, all of us viewers were kind of like speaking our words through Sydney at that moment, because I'm like, honestly, I'm kind of sick of talking about it, because I'm like, thank you, Sydney. I'm kind of sick of hearing about it too.
And there's some people in my life I know that are kind of like that, and I want to help them, and but after a while it's like, all right.
But they don't want to help themselves. It's like people were trying to help Melanie and trying to like, okay, we get it. You're sad. We're going to allow you to grieve and be sad, but now it's time to get back to business. Let's focus on something
else. 6 months and she tops.
Exactly. She needs to focus on something else and maybe let's figure out how to get Oliver back instead of wallowing in, you know, self-pity and getting high.
Or start a new hobby or something.
Yeah. Put away the smoking elephant and let's focus on doing some good.
Start making your own smoking elephants. Okay, where are we now? I forgot.
That was my number two.
Okay, my number two is turning Sid against David. And so you were talking about how Melanie says a lot of things that are true. And in particular, when they showed a little montage of David's life, she goes, All his life, he's been tricked and abused, his head filled with voices. He's seen things, horrible things, things no child should ever see. So he lied and he stole and he ruined everything. And he wore his madness like a coat. And then he hanged himself because he saw what he becomes, which we don't know if that's actually true. That's
right. Yeah, I thought that
twisting
too.
That. And then when his life was truly over, he spent 5 years in a mental hospital. And then she says he's a psychopath. And that's the way to lie. That's how the devil gets you, by telling a lot of truths and half truths that you know are true or close to the truth. So then you start trusting what they're saying, and then they can twist it off the path a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
That's how she got her. So yeah, by the time that Carrie finds Melanie, she's saying, "I have to stop David," which is exactly what future Sid, that's her mindset.
Right.
And so it makes me wonder if David really does destroy the world, then now suddenly I'm on the other side of the argument. Yep, you got to stop him. So I don't know. I don't know what we're going to see. Yeah, I don't know. I really don't want him to just be a straight up villain. I want him to have villainous tendencies. That'd be fine. But I don't want to lose also where he struggles to be good.
I think that's what we're going to get. I don't think we're going to lose David completely. I don't think we're going to see a complete flip, but I think that we're going to see him skirt more towards this fine line and maybe see more of it, where he maybe does, maybe he uses his power when he shouldn't. Maybe he goes too far when he shouldn't, instead of maybe just a little would do it. He goes to an extreme or something. Maybe we see him get more enjoyment out of it. You know, I don't think we're going to see him go full villain, but knowing that the potential's there, I like that. I like the danger side of it.
Mm-hmm.
So excited. Yeah,
that'd be perfect. Okay, what's your number one?
My number one is future David. I don't know that what we saw, and of course the Shadow King, I don't trust what he was saying or Melanie was saying to Sydney, and you know, trying to flip her and use those doubts and insecurities that she has. So I don't completely buy that, but I do think, you mentioned it earlier when we were talking about it, that how it becomes like a self-fulfilling prophecy. And are we going to see the beginning of Legion from the comics, the World Killer? I just feel like you said, Sydney told Farouk what happens. So he knows what happens. He takes Sydney, like, he's the one that like kidnaps her and brings her down to this hole, knowing that this is going to be what pushes David over the edge and start to bring that out in him. So it's like he's kind of making all of this, you know, come true. And then it makes me wonder that, you know, Farouk has been a challenging adversary to David, even without his body. So what do you think David will do when he has to harness that power to defeat Farouk? I mean, what do you think is going to happen with that?
Yeah, I think this is going to end up being like a Greek tragedy that everyone spends their time trying to avoid it, and then it comes to fruition. So maybe David will kill Farouk in the desert. But since Farouk has succeeded in turning Sid against him, that Sid will take some kind of an action against David. Maybe she'll shoot him with Lenny's gun or something. And maybe that'll drive him nuts and he'll just like send off this huge explosion that destroys the world or something like that. I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised if next season is post-apocalyptic.
Well, and they showed us that scene again with Clark and Sydney, where we didn't see it, this scene that they cut, but when it aired originally, Clark kind of took Sydney's arm, kind of just grabbed her, and he's like, you know, just, he was like basically warning her, like, well, don't go breaking his heart, because he's going to go, you know, completely berserk and he will kill everything.
That's right.
So,
yeah.
You know, then here we have
foreshadowing.
Exactly. So we have Sydney, who feels, here at the end of the episode, whether or not, I don't know how this will play out, if she'll come back around or what's going to happen, but here at the end of this episode, she's like, David's the one we have to stop. It's not Farouk, it's David. He's the villain. So when David and Sydney are confronted, when they, I believe they will anyway, the next episode will confront each other and she turns on him, I think that's going to push him
over
the edge. Yeah. Exactly. I'm just repeating that same thing. I just think that all of this is, yes, it's foreshadowing, but I think that it won't be just Farouk that, you know, kidnapping. I think that's just the beginning of it, with Farouk kind of pushing David and getting him into that point and us seeing that dangerous side of him, where he kind of leans a little bit more devilish and cruel.
If we did get into post-apocalyptic, that would conflict with the state of the cinematic Marvel Universe, which I'm not sure if it's ever been said, but Legion is done by Marvel, and it's supposed to be part, I think it's supposed to be part of the Marvel Universe, but they could just say that it's an alternate reality, you know?
Well, that's true, because he can make Farouk and David both are supposed to be strong enough to make the world what they... You can make your own reality. Isn't that what they...
Well, not only that, but it's the multiverse, right? So just like that episode that showed all the different realities. What was Tweaker David saying?
Oh, about the branches
and the branches and this yeah. and branches or whatever. So this could just be another branch where we got post-apocalyptic David Earth.
Maybe.
All right. My number one is... the rest of the crew, Lenny, Carrie, Clark, which we pretty much talked through, but there were just a couple of things. I love that they played Jane's Addiction while Carrie was kicking ass.
Yes, good song choice, as always.
Yeah, Ocean Size. I feel like this show is being made just for me when stuff like that happens. Because I love Jane's Addiction. It's all, wish me I was too. Ocean Size, they cannot move you, no one tries, no one pulls you out from your hole. Like a tooth aching a jawbone. And then, speaking of that, I forgot to mention, but I also liked when they played Radiohead when we were revisiting Sid telling Clark she was going after David. Mm-hmm. They were playing True Love, which is, I'll drown my beliefs to have your babies. I'll dress like your niece and wash your swollen feet. Just don't leave, don't leave. I'm not living, I'm just killing time. Your tiny hands, your crazy kitten smile. And true love waits in haunted attics, and true love lives on lollipops and crisps. Just don't leave, don't leave. I know, that's another. Radiohead and Jane's Addiction are two of my favorites.
Yeah, great songs, great bands.
And then last, this scene was really funny when it was night and Clark was setting up that choke thing, that tuning fork, and the Shadow King strolls up. And he's got his evil laugh and his arms out, and everyone just drops except for the Vermilion.
Yep.
And they're all, conflict imminent, chance of victory 0%, retreat. And they turn around and they don't run, they just kind of walk off.
I know. It was just, I'm just, they're like, okay, I'd be running.
But I'm out of here.
They're, yeah, they're just like, oh, retreat.
That just made me laugh the way that played out.
I did too. That was Vermilion.
So I'm done. I don't even have any notes, do you?
No notes. trying to look over some of my notes that we haven't already talked about. I was kind of wondering, I kind of thought, and it doesn't, I know we have one more episode, so maybe it will, and maybe it meant nothing, but I was kind of disappointed that we didn't really get to see what the point of that machine was. It was used on Amy and Lenny, and maybe it wasn't. Maybe the only point was just to merge Lenny into Amy's body. Maybe we'll see it come into play if maybe we won't. I don't know. I don't really have any theories, but I thought it was going to mean more.
Yeah. Well, I thought that they were going to use it to put Farouk into David's body, but
yeah,
maybe not, you know, doesn't matter if it doesn't come back. There's tons of shit that crops up on the show and then never comes back.
I know it and I wasn't even sure if I wanted to mention it or not, but I thought, well, I just thought it was going to play more of a part, and maybe it played the part that it was meant to, and that was it. Mm-hmm. And I'm okay with that. You mentioned earlier the lines about whenever Melanie and Sydney, when she first was down in the hole and talking to Melanie, whenever Sydney is having to sit there and listen to her drone on, and Melanie says, no piece of ass can ever compete with that. And yeah. Sydney just, I'm in hell.
Because she just tried to leave and she came right back into the room, which makes me feel like she can't get away from this whining, like self-pitying. And then that line in particular, it's just so cynical. It's like, yeah, in order to keep your man, you have to be really sexy because that's your only value to him. And she's like, fuck, man, get me out of here.
Yeah, she's just wanting to get out, realize she's in a maze, can't, you know, doesn't understand why she's there, what's going on. She just had this hook in her hand.
There's nothing good about this situation.
Exactly. And now she's stuck with, you know, whiny ass Melanie.
Yeah, the bunny fishing thing was awesome too, by the way.
Little it cute was. Bunny. It was, but I was... I know,
hook.
But it was kind of like, really? You're going to fall for that? A bunny comes hooked.
I know. Well, who would expect it? Like, I might fall for it.
I don't know. I would have been completely suspicious. I mean, I would have helped the bunny, but I would have been like a lot more alert as to
maybe don't
hook
pick
far
up the
away
hook,
from me.
Yeah.
Don't pick up the hook. Don't get it away. Like, get it out of the bunny and kick it aside so it doesn't hook
it so
me
funny.
And pull me. It was. It's just absurd. It's just more. It's yeah. like the big plug thing.
What would work the most? Like for me, if it was a big chocolate bar, I'd be on it.
That's big giant Hershey's dangling from a hook. Is that catchy? Some dark chocolate.
Ooh. We used to like when we were in. On band trips, we'd take fishing line and hook it to like a $5 bill and put it out there and wait for someone to go try to grab it and then just jerk it out of the way.
Good grief.
Just for fun.
Too much time on your hands. Yeah. I really liked also whenever David came upon Oliver and Oliver says, "There you are. Have you always been this slow?" I just thought that was hilarious. Dave was like, "Where is she?" He says, "Chill, baby. There's no boohoo here." Love that line and that interaction. I think that even though it wasn't, I was a little bit confused that it, because I never really bought that Oliver was possessed fully by Farouk in that moment. I knew from the time that I saw Melanie that was Farouk the whole time possessing her and had control. But it seems that you know, Oliver wasn't able to tell David what was happening. Like he zipped his lips and threw away the key.
Shadow King's control.
It's like he left something psychically in his brain to mm-hmm. prevent him from telling David the truth. So he was still, maybe he left some sort of impression in his brain or his head or something that prevented him from doing that, that he couldn't talk, he couldn't tell him. But it seemed like there was still enough of the true Oliver still there. So I really liked that. And that is all my notes.
Awesome. We'll take a little break. There's more to come. Stay with us. Back, time for the news.
Okay, well, just a couple items this week, and we've already talked about the big one that I wanted to make sure that everyone was aware of. If you haven't, you know, seen it out in the news already, that yeah, Legion has been renewed for a third season at FX.
I'm shocked. I didn't think it was going to happen.
I was really worried. I was legit sweating. This
I was
one
writing
out.
It off. I was like, nope, this show's over.
Well,
after
when
Ash.
They. Oh, you're going to be cynical for a while.
You never love again. You never trust.
You're never going to trust. You're never going to be in a good place. You're always going to have doubts. And you're letting those doubts and insecurities get to you like Sydney does. You need to let that go. But anyway, I was sweating it out too.
Psychotropic drugs.
Well, when they announced episode 11, mm-hmm. you know, after we knew that this was a 10-episode season, and I was like, oh, crap. It's not going to get renewed.
Well, the ratings, too. They're in, like, the low 100,000s.
Yeah, the ratings have really dropped.
One of the lowest rated showings ever shown.
I know. It makes me really sad. So I thought, okay, so when you look at the ratings, you look at them adding a new episode, they're going to give them an opportunity to say, okay, we're going to somehow allow you to wrap this up this season because you're done. So that really worried me. I was sweating it out. But really great news. It's currently, there has not been an official air date, but it is slated to air in 2019.
Oh, good.
So the next item that I have is not directly related to Legion, but it is Noah Hawley. This is from Vulture. This was an interview that they had with Noah Hawley, and it's an update on Doctor Doom. So the good news is Hawley has finished his screenplay. We haven't heard anything in a while. We just knew that it was, you know, out there when he announced it, but we haven't heard anything in a while. So he's finished his screenplay. He says, I wrote a script that I really like and the studio really likes. It needs a little work. Yeah. He says the bad news, or he doesn't say, but they say the bad news is it's not getting filmed in the near future. Hawley said there are a pair of roadblocks. The first is the fact that he's about to direct Natalie Portman and John Hamm. Also, Dan Stevens has joined that cast in the astronaut drama Pale Blue Dot. Speaking about revisions to the Doom script, Hawley says, it's hard for me at this exact moment because I start shooting another movie in 5 weeks to do that work. So, I mean, my hope is to get back to the Doom movie after Pale Blue Dot. The other barricade is a corporate one. As of now, Fox holds the movie rights to the Fantastic Four franchise, which includes Doom. As you may have heard, Disney, the parent company of Marvel Comics, might devour Fox, which would mean Disney's Marvel Studios, the folks who made the Avengers movies, would suddenly have access to the Fantastic Four and their eternal nemesis. The merger is very much in the up in the air at this point, and Hawley's Letvarian project is up there with it. He says, I know there's also a little uncertainty given the potential for a Disney merger and the fact that Marvel may regain control of X-Men and Fantastic Four. They may have a plan of their own in a desk drawer. I just don't know. So I think there's some sort of a sense of uncertainty.
Interesting. I mean, I think him doing Doom is cool, but if he can't do it, it's okay. Like, I'm not like clamoring. I think it'd be great, but if he's kind of a hot property right now, I don't know if he is, but hopefully, and he keeps getting work, then I'm just about as excited to see whatever he's doing, you know? I don't really care too much. Like, whatever projects he's got, I'm there.
I feel, one of the busiest writers in Hollywood right now. He's working on Doctor Doom. He's got Pale Blue Dot. He has Legion and Fargo. And Fargo, he's so behind with everything else. Like, he has all these other projects. Fargo isn't even slated to maybe air until 2020, season 4. We don't know for sure yet, but he's.
I'm just glad because for a while there, he was saying he didn't know if there would be a season 4. Or there had to be a good story, and now he's like, "Oh yeah, I thought of a good story." So that's cool.
Yes, I'm excited. So that's it for the news.
Nice. Let's get in some mental notes. Steve Brown says that pink structure with the string of pearls looking chain looked like a drain plug to me. To say I don't understand seems redundant. No, I think you understand.
Yeah, I think he does. Elliot says, was listening to your podcast for season 2, episode 9. I think we're supposed to connect Melanie's condition with Ham's monologue from the previous episode. The show has done this a couple times this season. But what Melanie tries to tell Carrie in this episode sounds more like solipsism than narcissism. Narcissists believe they are superior to others and that others' feelings do not matter. Solipsists aren't sure if other people actually exist.
When she was saying reality's not real or whatever.
Right. Goes on to say, totally different topic. When you talked about the position of the women on the show, it instantly reminded me of the Bechdel test.
Yeah.
Can you find a scene where two or more women speak about any other topic than a man?
Oh. That's the Bechdel test, yeah, to see if, I guess, I don't know what the object of the test is, but it's something about seeing if a movie is respectful towards women or has, you know, women characters that don't talk about a man.
Okay, that's interesting. I've never heard of that, so thanks for bringing that to my attention. Goes on to say, although it's an ensemble cast, this show is still, I think, the story of David Howler, so I think the show can get away with having most scenes have him on screen or as a topic of conversation. That said, this particular episode still passes the test for whatever that's worth. Melanie plus Carrie, Lenny plus new Janine, Lenny plus Amy, except for the final do what David wants exchange. Keep up the great work.
Yeah, because last week's episode was particularly a departure from David, I think on purpose. Like, they were like, let's see what it would be like to do an episode without David. So it is good that they weren't just talking about David the whole time. They were having their own lives and everything. mm-hmm. pretty much.
Agreed.
Okay, Steve from Pittsburgh says, "Hi guys, love the podcast and so thrilled Legion was renewed for a third season. You seriously had me worried when you were speculating if the extra episode FX ordered could be a series wrap up. Phew. Well, you're welcome, because it's nice to have a little drama in your life and then have it be resolved in a satisfying way. So
I bring the drama.
We're happy to do it. You didn't comment last week on the remark David made about meet me at the clock of the Long Now. I recognize the name from a project I'd heard of called Long Now, which is a foundation interested in extreme long-term thinking. They had an article I read years ago about how the further the time is separating our generation from another, the less we care. So we care about ourselves, of course, our children, our grandchildren, but any further beyond that is difficult for us to conceptualize and therefore to give a shit about. Thus, our current destruction of the planet. Their clock goes along with that whole mode of thinking. Here's a link. It's longnow.org/clock. That's longnow.org/clock. I'm excited to see how, if that will play into David's plan." That is really fascinating. And what's really interesting is this whole organization, the what was it called? The Long Now.
It's a foundation. Long Now is a foundation.
They have a bar that's in Fort Mason here in San Francisco, which is it's the same place where we have Walker Stalker Con when they're here. Or we've had it a couple of times. And so I had a listener meetup in this bar that is part of this foundation.
Oh, cool.
And it has all these books, and it looks like it's out of the 90s video game Myst, because it has these weird timepieces and all these really cool structures and things like that. And the glasses are shaped kind of spheroid and cool looking and stuff like that. I don't know why I'm mentioning this, but it's just funny that a listener wrote in about this and I knew the place that they're talking about.
Yeah, super cool. I had no idea. I've never heard of that. I'm going to check that out. Thanks.
But yeah, long-term thinking is good. And I am sure this relates to that, especially when you're talking about the destruction of the planet. So yeah, I hope that comes back in the clock of the Long Now. All right, that is our show, episode 18. Thank you for listening, everybody.
Yeah.
I want to thank Retward von Dornberg again for letting us use the song that's playing right now. It's called Stay a While. You can find it and more of his work at thecaravel.net. That's thecaravel.net.
Thanks.
If you want to get in touch with me and Rima, you can email or send voice message to us at legion@podcastica.com.
You can find us on the web at facebook.com/legionpod.
Be sure to check out our other shows at podcastica.com.
Yeah.
All right, that is our show.
Thanks for listening.
That's it.
The hair. Careful, Daddy-O.
Some matches are temporary, but your privacy shouldn't be. With Line 2, you get a second phone line just for dating. No need to share your personal number until you're ready. You can chat, text, and even block numbers, all while keeping things fun and private. It's perfect for online dating, blind dates, or just keeping things light. When you're ready to move on, Line 2 lets you cut ties without any drama. Dating should be fun and carefree. Line 2 keeps it that way. Ready to date on your terms? Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store today.